Introducing the wonderful, the beautiful, the effervescent, fluorescent vessel of truth, love, and gratitude, I give you Nicolette Rich.
Topical growth. Hello, guys. This is Nicolette back with another episode, and today's topic is called topical growth. We'll get a little bit more into that. But first, I would like to introduce my lovely guest, Crystal Rose. She is a local singer, recording artist here in Kansas City. We actually went to college together quite a few years ago, so it's been nice reconnecting. Hello, Crystal.
Hi. Hey, Nicolette.
So today we're talking about topical growth, and Crystal and I have already discussed what that means to us and highlighted some different points per usual. So what would you like to start out with in terms of what your perspective is for that phrase, topical growth?
Like, what does topical growth mean to me?
Yeah, based on like just what we've talked about, some different experience, and we'll go into more details, guys, but just like a quick little snippet of what you feel topical growth is.
When I think of topical growth, I think about seeing yourself grow from a different perspective, seeing yourself move through your life from a different perspective, instead of just being like a victim to everything happening, to be able to like stand outside of yourself in a sense and watch the way you interact and the things you say, and to pause and think about, you know, why you do what you do. And I think that is just vital and actually in growth in general. And if you're not doing that, then you're either staying the same, which really is dying in a sense.
Yeah. And it's like we're dying no matter what. Like, that's like a part of being conceived, right? As soon as you're conceived, you know death is coming your way. But yeah, being able to look at yourself, or I really love the term. And you know what? It's so crazy. I was looking at one of my other episodes and I used arena. I was looking literally like a couple weeks ago. But anyway, so yeah, you were talking about just being in the arena. So just imagine yourself looking at this arena of your life from the top down.
Yeah.
And you're like, God damn, she went in and what did she do? What did you say?
Went in and got smoked.
That should have me crying. I was like, damn, I haven't thought about that in a long time. Smoked.
You will get smoked if you don't watch your step. You don't know what you're doing. You don't know why you do what you do.
Yeah. Counterproductive activity is what I see it as. But we've outlined five things that kind of help us, and we'll talk about some different circumstances, but essentially that help us take a step back with this topical view, this topical growth. When you're wanting to have this pivotal point in your life where you are not just growing, but you're consciously growing, you see where you fucked up and you're going back to fix those fuck ups, right? So we want to highlight five points. So the first point that we're going to look at is acknowledgement. So whenever you're in a situation, you have to be able to acknowledge the fact that there was something that you did wrong. Like you said, instead of just going right into victimhood. So for you, we were talking about a bit of a traumatic experience that you had last year.
Yes.
Yeah, man, it's only been a year.
No, wait a minute.
It's been 2 years.
2 years. It's been two years.
Okay, yeah. Fair enough.
It's been 2 years.
So you want to talk a little bit about how you've been able to, you know, go through this topical growth that we're calling it.
We talked about the church experience, right? I've got a list of trauma.
We did talk about two things.
Trauma experiences. I couldn't remember which one we pinned down. But yeah, so the trauma experience did happen 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I was a vital part of this church. That was my church home, was my church family for 5 years. I mean, it was like I slept and woke up there, type of like serving. And so 2 years ago, you know, I just kind of just started waking up slowly. Like, I was always aware of the culture and the toxic culture that was just normal there. Mm-hmm. But in the earlier years of me being a part of the church, I turned a blind eye to it because I wanted to be accepted so bad. Mm-hmm. I knew what I had to give up to be a part of this family.
Yeah.
And well, I knew a little bit of what I had to give up, not completely, because we never really know.
Exactly.
And so you think it's going to be okay. You think you're going to be able to, like, manage, still be yourself, all these things, and hang with the crew, you
know. Cool kids.
The cool kids. But it's really not like that. They will eat your soul.
shit.
So, yeah.
I feel that though.
So I just started waking up and realizing, you know, to belong doesn't mean that you give up everything about yourself. Like, what they were claiming to as a definition of belonging wasn't really belonging. And I was giving up too much of myself. I started to catch wind of just tons of mistreatment and abuse of power, lack of accountability, and finances as well, as well as leadership. And was hearing about, like, specific stories and incidents with people. And I had my own incident too, mm-hmm. that I eventually just, like, let go because, you know, I thought, oh, the church is bigger than this one incident I had with my pastor's wife.
Wow.
That was a sacrifice I was willing to make. But when I started hearing other people's stories, it just lit something inside of me. It's kind of crazy. You can hear someone else's story, feel for them, but not feel as much for your own story. It's crazy how that can happen. But anyways, I was like, this is wrong.
Yeah.
Something needs to happen. Why hasn't anyone said anything before? Why is this still happening? And I just started asking questions. Yeah. My questions led me to be escorted out of my church on a Sunday morning, just out of nowhere. My pastor's wife had the police escort me out of the church before I could even walk into service.
That's fucking wild.
So
I've never heard anything like that.
Yes, it is wild. And it's,
I've never heard anything like that.
I never heard of anything like that happening in, like, this day and age.
Right?
Like, it sounds like something that Fair. Would happen way back when.
Yeah. For, like, something that at that time seemed absolutely reasonable. But, like, today.
Yes, but today it was completely unreasonable. And I was immediately just, like, excommunicated from my entire, like, church family. My reputation was trashed. They spread so much gossip about me. They lied about everything. They tried to cover it up. They said I was harassing someone, just anything they could do to silence me, block me on all social media platforms. It was a wild time.
Yeah. And I think, you know what? It's funny, guys, because I think that, so this was 2 years ago that you stopped going to the church and you were there for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember one time, this was for 4th of July. We were all hanging out.
4th of July.
Yes. And we went to, what was it, like IHOP or something? Some 24-hour restaurant. And we were just, it was just a bunch of us hanging out, having a good time. And here Crystal was. She's like, I have to go sleep in the car. I have to go to church in the morning. And I was like, the fuck? Church? What? But you were dedicated. I remember that.
I really was.
You were dedicated.
I really was. Because I probably had to get up and sing in the morning, too.
You
and
did.
If
That's
I were
exactly
to stay up
was.
All night, my voice would have
yep.
been shot.
That's exactly what it was. That's so wild. And then to know that that was the same atmosphere.
Yeah.
The same environment, the same family. Like, that's.
Right. I was loyal.
You know? Okay, so in this situation, though, getting back to this topical growth.
Yeah.
So obviously, after being escorted out, you didn't have a choice but to take a step back.
Right.
So the first step of acknowledgement, when do you think your first step of acknowledgement in terms of where your actions went wrong came about? Does that make sense?
When I first saw fault mm-hmm. in my actions.
Mm-hmm. After you were out of the situation, after you had some time, what was it that kind of clicked for you to realize that you needed to figure out how you could be better in the situation? You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think it took a little bit longer for that to happen, because at first, all I could see were their actions.
Absolutely.
Because I was like, these people did me wrong. Mm-hmm. But down the road, I had to admit my part in all of it, which was, at some point, I was doing what they were doing. I was following orders. Like, I knew something was wrong, and I was just still following orders. And that just came a little bit later. It came up in even conversations with friends when we talked about, friends that also went to the church. We talked about our experiences, and we talked about, you know, man, we did that to so-and-so.
Damn.
And honestly, it took a while to get there, but it wasn't hard for me to admit it.
That's good.
Yeah. It just took a while for me to get there. I remember, you know, some lady at church coming to me, messaging me on social media, just saying, like, sharing her experience with me way back when. And she was telling me about how she was wronged at the church. And I was just like, oh. Well, you're probably a little crazy. Or I totally gaslighted her.
Damn.
And I've seen her interact in church, and I felt that she was always doing the most. It's the best way I can say it. But even if she was doing the most, like, does that mean she needs to be, like, kicked out of a church?
Right.
Do you just tell someone, leave, we don't want you here, you can't be here, you don't belong here? That should never happen in a church. I mean, unless you walk in with guns blazing.
Very different situation.
But yeah. I did that to people as well.
Yeah.
And it's gross to think about the part that you play in gaslighting people and abuse of power. And I was just, like, such a part of the system.
I mean, I feel like everybody can definitely admit, even if they don't want to, at some point or another, that they were a part of some system.
Mm-hmm.
You know, without thought, without consciousness, without awareness, just doing, you know?
Yeah.
Now, another point that we hit for our outline is silencing the noise. And we kind of felt like silencing the noise and acknowledgement can come in waves, right? Because acknowledgement is typically the first step of any form of change, but then silencing the noise, like what you're saying, like, whenever you finally got to the place of realizing that you did wrong, you accepted it, but it just took you a while. So were you silencing noise in your head and just, like, maybe the people even that you were surrounding yourself with to see where you played a role?
Yeah, the part of the silence was forced.
Mm-hmm, of course.
Because I lost my, like, entire community.
Absolutely, yeah.
But then even when the silence happens to you, you have this opportunity to sit in it or drown it out.
Processing thoughts, which is our third point.
Yeah, and there were a few things that I did to silence the noise, and one of them was to drown out just some of the typical voices I always had in my life. The literature that I had always been passed down to read from leadership. I just realized those voices were not actually benefiting, like, my spiritual growth. They were holding me back. And so I took that time to kind of just step out, and, like, I just started reading things that my pastor would have never given me to read, listening to podcasts that they wouldn't have never recommended, and just being really open to different spiritual walks and journeys and experiences from people.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas before I would have just,
completely
shut it out.
Yeah.
It was hard, though, because the few friends that I had after the church experience, I felt that some of them were still very much, they were in a different like season of, I don't know, like growth.
Yeah, I was about to say growth. Like, but you, do you mean like spiritual? Because I mean, that's the thing too. People that I've had encounters with in terms of, you know, them being religious, it's like they think that being religious is enough, but that is not a spiritual connection. That's mm-hmm. just being a part of an organization or a facility or whatever the fuck it is, but it's not being right. connected.
I feel like difference. They were connected.
Okay.
But I also feel like they were so, they were not ready to actually silence the noise in the ways that I was doing it, which nobody has to grow the same way.
Absolutely.
But it was, there was this tension that I felt that I was doing it alone because I felt that my friends were still looking for another savior, another pastor, another like a leader.
Yes.
You know, a foundation.
Feeling lost without that.
Yeah, they felt really lost. And I did too. Mm-hmm. But I started to see that like this God thing, this divine is everywhere, and that if the divine has created everything in this universe, then there is divine in everything in this universe. And so I wanted to see the beauty, the greatness, the divine in everything in the universe. So I wasn't looking for it in like this one person, this one pastor, this one leader, whereas I felt like my friends were still there.
That's beautiful though. So essentially with you processing thoughts, you really had to break down where you stood, you know? How you see things, how you see, you know, how your relationships have been, and, you know, obviously having to maybe step away from those relationships. Is that kind of
fun? And to a certain extent, yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. And I had to silence, like, my own thoughts, like,
yeah.
In so many experiences, I had to, like, I would hear myself think this thing about this person that I'm interacting with, and then think, why do I think that about this person? And realize that it was stemmed from my past.
Your belief system that...
My belief system, yeah. Yes. And so maybe I didn't silence those thoughts, but I had to like correct, you right. know, course correct them.
Course correct, I like that.
Yes.
Yeah. So then we have for number four, finding new practices. So obviously we stepped right into that. Course correcting, reworking your thoughts. That's something I've had to do too. I mean, I was Christian and more religious as a kid than I've ever been in my adulthood. But yeah, being judgmental, that's definitely something that unfortunately it has stemmed from being in that type of atmosphere.
Yes.
Not to say that that's always what it is. Also, guys, I'm so sorry. We are downtown KC. What up? And you hear the traffic, all that good shit.
We actually live right next door to a fire station. I forgot to tell you. They're literally like... That's awesome.
Yeah, there are neighbors over here, so it's fine. Whatever noise you hear, just tune it out. This message is really important right now. But yeah, finding new practices, finding new ways to think, to think for yourself too. I think that's yes. another big part of it, because whenever you are, it doesn't have to be this way, but I've noticed that a lot of times when we as humans are connected to something specific, we feel like we always have to represent that.
Yeah.
So it's not ironic that, you know, Christian people, for example, end up being judgmental. Like, they are trying to keep a specific image that is attached to their church mm-hmm. or whatever that is. So, you know, we're all flawed as fuck. Like, we all have our shit.
Yeah.
But to be able to take a step back and, you know, rework your thoughts and find some new ways to come up with your own individuality. Because I think that's another thing, too. Like, we're here having a human experience. So we deserve to have a little bit of an individuality. We don't have to be attached to something to be able to define ourselves, you know?
Finding the new practices thing was hard mm-hmm. because I had just grown so accustomed to feeling a certain way when I did a specific tradition.
Like feeling validated and...
Yeah, like it was working. Mm-hmm.
I see.
You know, like prayer. I really kind of just stopped praying the way that I had always been praying.
I did that too,
and
actually.
But I started to learn that, like, prayer can look different. But it was hard though, because I was like, oh, this is what I know. And like, yeah. This feels like prayer.
Yeah.
this other thing doesn't feel like prayer. Uh-huh.
But I can definitely resonate with that, because I needed to stop. But I realized now, hindsight, that I needed to let go of those practices. Mm-hmm. That was it. Like, I had to completely redefine what prayer, or in my mind, manifestation looked like, mm-hmm. or meditation.
Yeah.
So to be able to get what I want, because I'm like, maybe I am supposed to be talking to something, but it ain't what I thought it was.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was one of them. And just the practice of, like, you know, literally waking up and falling asleep at church. Mm. Like that, I had to let go of that.
Mm.
Feeling the need or the desire to always be at church, not miss a Sunday. I just let go of that, which was, all of it's hard. Growth is hard. So yes. Let's just say that. It was difficult. But then that became a lot easier, because I was seeing church in different ways. I've seen church in, you know, grabbing drinks with a couple of friends and some strangers, you know,
mm-hmm.
on the weekend or a weeknight. And just church was looking different. Meditation was something I really desired to practice. It was hard.
Yeah.
And I think I, like, gave up too soon. Also, like, I'm not sure if I'm a type 3 or type 4 on the Enneagram, and, like, type 3s really, like, need to succeed.
Mm-hmm.
And meditation is not something you can, like, succeed at. Like,
yes, it is. What do you mean?
But you can't, like, I think it's more of the act of just doing it. Mm-hmm. It's the practice of it.
Mm-hmm.
More of, and less of, like, how long you meditate.
Oh, yes.
And I just was just so caught up in, like, okay, how long can I meditate? How many times do my thoughts go away? Like, how focused can I actually be?
Mm-hmm.
Things like that. I was caught up in, like, crushing it.
Yeah. But that's the culture that you came from.
Yes.
You know? So the mindset was similar. So you're still trying to work out of the, I mean, just, again, just what we were already saying, just work, like, get out of that mindset. I don't even know how to better say it right now.
Yeah.
And it's very fucking difficult.
Yeah, it is.
You know?
It takes time. It takes years. And I think I just honestly need to, like, pick it back up. But
yeah.
I've picked up meditation in other ways, mm-hmm. not just this still, silent type of way.
Have you tried? Oh, well.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to ask you real quick. Have you tried group meditations?
I did.
What did you think about that, man? Because it took me a while to do that, to feel comfortable with it.
Yeah, that was one of my first meditation
experiences.
Really?
Oh, yes, we did. Yeah. Okay.
And uh-huh. I was still at the church when I tried that, actually. And I was so excited about it.
Uh-huh.
And I went back to, like, my church people and was like, oh, man, I just came from a meditation class. Crickets. Like, they were just not about it. Probably thought I was, you know, practicing some witchcraft thing, whatever.
Right? Why does that always correlate to witch? Don't get me wrong. Like, I, as I've talked to you guys about, I am into what is considered witchcraft. But when I think of witchcraft, I think of it as, like, this practice of basically you're taking everything from Mother Earth and you are making use of it. You are finding the power in it. Like you were saying, there's divinity in every fucking thing around mm-hmm. us. Why is it so hard for people to believe that there's divinity in your plants, your herbs, your stones, your, like, it's all the
it's
same
everywhere.
Shit. It's everywhere. However you choose to use it.
Yeah.
So yeah, fucking witchcraft. Yeah, I'm all about it.
So yeah, that was actually my first group experience. And it was at Unity Temple.
Yes. Uh-huh. I have not been to one there,
but
I know.
It was a small class.
Mm-hmm.
Some guy fell asleep and he really... He took some points away from the experience for me.
Fair.
Because he was snoring. Yeah. Yeah.
That's some clown shit.
But
you know what,
but
though?
Other than that.
But I will say, like, good. Even in that situation, being in group meditations, that is a common thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because for him, that is his way of silencing his noise. And sometimes the only way that some people can do it is through sleep.
Yeah.
I've slept through some, but not... I mean, I've been doing it for a while now, but it's like, it is a lot of fucking work, because
yeah.
you are literally, like, even if thoughts come to mind, you just have to learn to accept whatever the thought is, yes, and then release it.
Right.
And it's a conscious effort. It's a waking and a sleeping effort.
It is. Yes.
Yeah. It's a lot of fucking work.
It is.
I will say, though, it's worth it. It's so worth it. Being a human and realizing that you can either be living to just die, mm-hmm, right? Your life is just kind of plateauing, or you can live to always be growing and always be lifting, if you will. You know, yeah, lifting your vibrations.
Yeah. I think I will pick that up again.
Yeah.
And try it out again.
Yeah, tell me how it goes.
I will. And then the other thing, the last thing that was a practice I had to let go was just like the Christianese I had always grown up with. Mm. I was so tired of the language that everyone uses, and this evangelical circle, this bubble. And one of the bigger things was I really wanted to call God something different.
Yeah.
I really wanted to be able to call God a she, or I didn't want God to be a he all the time.
Yeah.
Like I couldn't handle that. And it was important to me to like slip that into my language. It was really hard because I'm talking to, when you're talking to people about God, most of my friends are spiritual Christians somewhere on the spectrum. Mm-hmm. And that was difficult because you kind of feel crazy. Are they looking at you crazy? Because if you call God a she, or if you call God the divine, or so that was a hard one that I'm still working on. Like, yeah. And just being okay with it, or having the courage to do that, not just in my private world, but in, my interactions with other people. So just finding new language. And I find new language when I learn more about different walks. Mm-hmm. And the reason I never had any other language before is because I was just in this bubble.
Yeah.
That's how we talked about things.
Exactly. But, there is a lot of light workers here in Kansas City, is what I like to call them.
What is a light worker?
People that are, harnessing their... We all have light and dark energy, mm-hmm, but it's people that are purposefully, with multiple types of practices, witchcraft included, motherfuckers, honing in and harvesting their light energy. And I've been able to walk around and have these type of conversations with a lot of people, because a lot of people are aware, a lot of people are conscious around here. In this area, I'm not saying that they're not everywhere in the world, but we live in a nice area that you can definitely find more like-minded people. And it's not about what they believe specifically, it's about them wanting to, spread and share this light.
Yeah. I think that I have not fully come across those people yet. Mm-hmm. And maybe I have and I don't know it.
Yeah.
Because maybe they know where I came from.
Like, oops.
And I was so like ride or die for that cause. No pun intended. But, which they are now called Hillsong KC. I just want to let you guys know that. It's Hillsong Kansas City. Mm. That is, they rebranded.
Interesting.
But I feel like I haven't really come across too many of those people. And I don't know where to meet them. I probably just have to have new experiences.
Yeah. At least the way that I like to explain it, the universe brings them.
Well, you're one.
Yeah, everybody has this light within them. Mm-hmm. Every single human being. But a lot of us have it, it's like clouded, or we drain it in alcohol and we drain it in drugs, or we are in a bubble where we're being spoon-fed all this shit that's literally programming our brain, so we don't have an opportunity to think for ourselves or to be connected to the universe and to be able to listen. It's like everybody is a light worker, or everybody has light.
Yes.
Everybody is not a light worker. You're right. So I've transitioned into this category. I mean, if that's, I don't really like putting labels on myself, but like if I were to call it something, yeah. And there's a lot, and I feel like as I was tuning more into it, you know, being more consistent with meditating, writing my journals, listening to my dreams and all these different things, that's when people started coming to me.
Yeah.
Like at a coffee shop. I've literally even been at bars having these really deep conversations with people that
yeah,
I would never have thought about, you know, like mm-hmm. it's just happened.
Oh, that reminds me, my friend Kiana of this, she's the lead singer of this band called Yes You Are,
mm-hmm.
started this like meditation class
okay.
type of thing. And I went to one.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to go back, shoot, but
really?
I don't even know if she's still doing it because of COVID or anything, but it was very cool. It was in like a yoga studio with like, they dimmed lights, tons of random people I don't know. And it was a guided meditation
mm-hmm.
meant to like, I don't know, spur up. Is that the word I'm thinking?
In terms of everybody's energy together?
Together and also individually.
Okay.
Like vivid imagery, dreams and things like that. Mm. And so she would guide us through this thing. Everyone's having their own experience through it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we would, you know, turn the lights back up and sit up. And then we would like share, like when I said this, like what happened with you there and what did you see? Mm-hmm. And everyone's just like sharing their different experience. And it was amazing.
Yeah.
It was so cool.
I love that because that's a prime example of how life is. You, everybody, we're here in this room together, but we are still having a very different experience.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So whenever we can accept that shit, because that's the problem with any kind of, you know, not any kind, but like, I guess maybe like the foundation of how the term group or organization came about was just based in everybody trying to clump together and put this shield over this group of people, but it doesn't really work like that.
Mm-hmm.
Not really.
No, it doesn't.
It's ideal, but it's not real.
Yeah.
So we're kind of just sharing some different experiences here, but for the fifth and final point of the steps that you can take to do this topical growth, right? You have this topical view where you're able to see yourself, see where you fucked up, and then further grow. So the fifth and final point is accountability. How do you feel about the term accountability in your situation?
It's almost like a trigger word because we've used it so much in the evangelical world.
Yeah.
But it's a good word. Like, I know what it means.
Yeah.
And it makes sense. But for me personally, it was difficult for me to find the accountability I thought I needed because I didn't feel like people around me were near me as far as where I am on like my spiritual journey.
Okay.
And I just wanted to know, do you think the person holding you accountable needs to be in a similar space as you to hold you accountable in like a efficient, productive, whatever, beneficial way?
No.
No. Why?
If you know what you've done wrong, let's just say you're going off of this outline that we have here. So you've acknowledged it, you've silenced the noise in your head, the thoughts, whatever, and then you're learning to break them down and process your thoughts, and then you're finding new practices. You taking accountability has absolutely nothing, like, it's like going through these steps is now taken away from the importance of, let's just say, that specific event that happened in your life.
Right.
It's kind of dimming that down because the actions that you portrayed or whatever in that situation or that event probably has shown up in multiple things in your life.
Mm-hmm.
But this is just that one event or that one circumstance or group of people that is highlighting how important this growth is.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, you don't need to be in the same space. I think that everybody individually just needs to be able to take accountability.
Yeah. So that makes me think there's maybe multiple forms of accountability. It's holding yourself accountable, mm-hmm. and then it's having other people hold you accountable as well.
Absolutely.
And we need both. And I think holding myself accountable was maybe a little easier than having someone else hold me accountable.
I understand. I got you.
Personally. Because, I mean, accountability could almost be tied with acknowledgement.
Mm-hmm. Almost.
You know, like it almost that's feels so funny. It almost feels the same mm-hmm. in a way. Because I could see myself heading in a direction, like maybe falling into old patterns, mm-hmm. you know, old practices. And then sometimes I'd be able to catch myself before I got too deep into it. And sometimes it'd be like, I've been doing this for like a month. I said I wasn't going to do this, you know?
Mm-hmm. But that's still just the acknowledgement.
Right.
Because I feel like until you take accountability, you can't effectively change.
Right.
Yeah.
I think that, and it's so crazy how all of growth just, it really is just like a
weaving
way.
Weaving in and out.
Weaving in and out. When I think about accountability, I think about all the other steps. Mm-hmm. And specifically with my journey, I had to hold myself accountable, take responsibility for my growth. And one of the ways I did that was distancing myself from some of the people that I just didn't need to spend that much time with.
I see.
Like, I had to take responsibility of, like, my own mental space and my emotional space and just the journey, like, the healing process. The healing process is important.
Yes.
You know, you can't be doing everything you were doing. But if the doctor says, you know, let's say maybe you have a brain surgery and you should not be staring at your phone. You shouldn't be, you know, in a room with loud noises for longer than like 5 minutes, things like that. Like, you should be doing what the doctor says. The healing process is important. Otherwise, you're probably, your healing's going to take longer. Mm-hmm. And you're just going to drag it out. It's going to be harder. Like, you probably won't fully heal. Like, it may look like you've healed, but you haven't. And so I had to take accountability for my healing process. Like we said, accountability means taking responsibility. So I had to take responsibility of my healing process by cutting some things out. And yeah.
Cutting out those unhealthy relationships and.
Right.
Yeah.
Or just limiting them. Mm-hmm. I had to set boundaries, which is hard. Setting boundaries is really hard.
Yeah,
I have not mastered that.
I'm still
some people
on it
are
too.
Doing a great job at it. It's not me.
I think another thing that's hard about boundaries is that, like, I mean, codependency is not a bad thing, but it's just you realize how codependent you are or aren't
mm-hmm.
when you're setting those boundaries
right.
with people. You know, specifically with relationships, friendships.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's all a learning curve. Like you said, healing is, it takes time and you can't try to speed that shit up.
Yeah. And you can't wait around for other people for your healing.
No, wrong answer.
And if you are, you're doing yourself a disservice.
I think, honestly, that's a good point. I feel like that's a reason why, like, especially a lot of people, like, in our generation, are really changing their minds about relationships, you know? Because you have to be able to heal with your partner, or even if you're not healing with them, you're still with them and you can heal separately. But
right.
healing and growth has to happen in a relationship for a relationship to be healthy.
Yes.
Like, being successful, healthy.
Right, yeah.
And people are really starting to understand that
mm-hmm.
better.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, because there's so much healing that an individual needs to have for the relationship to be healthy.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's stuff you can work on in your relationship, but there's also stuff you walked into the relationship with.
Exactly.
And if you aren't finding healing for that, what are you doing?
Yeah. What are you doing? Well, yeah, guys, that wraps up our episode for today. I really appreciate you sharing the story about that. This is a life-changing story, you know? Like,
yeah.
This is something that has changed everything that, you know, or has changed how you've seen the world, how you view life, and I commend you for it because it's a very difficult process, and a lot of people won't ever be able to make that type of growth in this lifetime. That part is the part that I struggle with sometimes the most when I'm dealing with people, because I realize that no matter how much I work on myself, I can never expect for anybody else to be doing the same.
Yeah.
So I commend you. This is a lot of work, a lot of heavy lifting to be able to enjoy your life.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely.
It's been great.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you guys for listening. And as always, I am spreading unconditional love wherever you are.